Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Footy Casuals once again. We are back, this time with some more Copa America action going on. But yeah, so we are back. How are you doing, Brian? Are you excited for this lackluster-filled tournament?
No, I'm actually not, man. The boys are out. Both of the boys are out, unfortunately. But
we're both in Cancun.
The style of play has been horrible. The refs have been horrible, which I will get into later.
Yes.
Like, I feel like everything in the Copa America has been horrible. But it is what it is.
Exactly. We're going to talk about all that good stuff and more. But, yeah, so we'll go through the tables, kind of see where we got our things right, where we got them wrong, and go over the last match day, kind of, where we saw how things go. So, yeah, we'll start off with Group A, which is the most boring. I'm sorry, but I can't say nothing because Group B was pretty trash. But this group is so bad, man, like... All the games were literally like mediocrity. Like that Chile Peru game was horrible, and then the Argentina Chile game was horrible. Like almost all these games were just trash. But yeah, after that first game week, I was like, nah, Canada got this in the bag. They're going through for sure because I didn't have faith in them to go through. But these other teams played so horrible. I'm like, anybody could have gone through in this group. I feel like if other teams could have from other groups, but Yeah, Argentina, obviously, we're going to sweep this one like nothing because these other teams are trash. Chile is the most disappointing thing ever. They scored, like, what is it? They scored zero goals. They scored zero goals. But yeah, so I don't even know, man. I don't know what to say. They have two draws. I think they had two 0-0 draws, and they lost to Argentina. So,
you know what's the crazier thing?
What's that?
That Canada's advancing with just one goal.
I know they scored only one goal, but the other teams are so trash that of course they're gonna go through. But yeah.
This bracket, like this freaking group in general, is just so boring. Like, everybody knew going into the Argentina Peru game that they were going to win. There was no chance Peru was even going to score. And this is without Messi, by the way. So it was just an easy breeze by. And then I feel like the Canada Chile game, it was just very boring. Like, after Chile got that red card, there was no hope for them. It was literally game over. All they had to do was just try to defend the counterattack. And even then, like, I don't know what. What's worse, the fact that they got a red card or the fact that Canada couldn't score? Like, because, oh,
exactly.
My God.
Exactly, it was so bad, like, man.
The whole game they were attacking. I saw the replays of this, and, oh, my God. Yeah, you would not catch me watching this game, unfortunately. I had work, and,
I watched none of these games because I knew they were going to be trash.
Yeah, this game was so trash. I was like, this is one that I'm not tuning into, unfortunately. Like, I was like, I'll just stick to work, but, yeah, I just kept seeing the replays, and then it was literally just attack, and literally they cannot find anything to score. So kind of just shows how bad Canada has kind of been. But even though they've been so trash, they're going to get through because of the group they're in. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like Chile could have won this game because they started off pretty attacking, but too bad they got a red card, though.
Yeah,
they did it to themselves.
Exactly. They were so trash this tournament. I was so embarrassed. I'm like, man, I had Chile to go through, and they played horribly. Alexis Sanchez was so trash. All of Chile's players were so trash. They need to blow it up, man, because everyone played so horrible. Honestly, they should have went through easily. Honestly should have went through, and I can't believe they didn't beat Peru, especially with how tragic Peru has been. I just don't understand it, you know, but
The thing is that up until the last game, it was still in their hands. All they needed to do was beat Canada. Literally,
yeah,
all
exactly, honestly.
So, they did it to themselves.
Yeah, that they did. I don't know, you remember scoring this one? You put Canada second, right? Or
Yeah, so I believe I did I did Argentina, Canada, Chile, Peru.
Yeah, so you got this one pretty spot on, you know. Hold on. But
I predict Canada to do better. Too bad they didn't
yeah.
do better. They just, everybody else happened to be pretty fucking bad.
I'm pretty sure you got this group spot on, dude. So I'm gonna give you
Yeah, I did get it spot
a four
on.
for four. So you got 4 points on that one. Four for
I
four.
know 100% I got this one spot
Oh
on.
yeah, and then let's see. For me, I got only two there, right? Because I put Peru bottom, I'm sure, and then I put Argentina top. But yeah, Chile let me down. But yeah, this group was honestly to forget. Honestly, it was not that good. So we are gonna move on because it was trash. And then on to Group B. So FYI, me and Brian have another vid in the works. As the cups start to wind down, there's gonna be more breaks in between. So, and these videos are gonna get much shorter. It'll go from like breaking down like 16 teams to breaking down like four teams. So, it'll get much closer. So we are having the works. We are gonna have ourselves a U.S. and Mexico rants video going over how trash both these teams are. And how they deserve nothing but pain. So we will
We'll
go
talk
over
about
that.
what went wrong.
Exactly. So we'll keep it brief and we'll leave that for that video. I don't know about you, Brian, but I have a lot of bullet points and I'm literally gonna even do some research. That's how heated I've become about this topic, that they deserve to get flamed to the 100% capability of my knowledge. So there's
Yeah,
no
me
holding
too.
back.
I've got a lot of bullet points too, so I feel like it's gonna make a great episode, but we'll leave that till then. No need to stress now.
Exactly, man. We just gotta talk about the vibes of the WWE Copa America. But
But I mean, unfortunately, we still have to recap the game, so there's gonna be a little bit of stress, but not too.
can we just switch to Group D?
No, we gotta.
I know, we gotta go through.
Oh, how about I start it off?
Yeah, I was gonna say you go B. Oh, wait, do you want to do B or do you want to do your group?
I can do it. I can do the U.S. group. You can do the Mexico
I'll let you
group.
do C and D, and I'll do A and B. How about that?
All right,
All right,
sounds
I'll
good.
start it off. Yeah, I gave you the good groups. How about
Me.
that?
I agree. I agree.
All right. So Group B, the very unexpected group. It's funny because a lot of people for sure had Venezuela and Mexico up in the air for that second spot, and they ended up winning this group in comfortable fashion. They 9 points, you know. So which is crazy because I said when we started this, I'm like, they're on a pretty good streak and they're doing really well. So anything is possible, but I don't think many people expected this 9 points, you know, like the perfect 3 for 3 result for them. So they played really well. Like they deserve to go through. They played correctly to their full capabilities. So all props to them. They destroyed Jamaica. I think that's how you know that they're the only ones doing good in this group, because Ecuador and Mexico failed to like capitalize on Jamaica's games. I mean, Mexico barely beat Jamaica, so the fact that Venezuela took advantage and just put so many past them, like they wanted to go through for sure. But yeah, so props to Venezuela. Jamaica, oh my God, they're just so poor, man. They finally scored a goal. I guess this was their first goal ever in a Copa America, and it was scored by an Englishman. Yep, Miguel Antonio scored their goal. But yeah, I mean, hey, you guys got something. I'm not like, no one expected much from you guys, but at least you guys got a goal, and they almost got a result out of Mexico. So hey, it'll do. Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna do my best to keep this as professional as possible, because I have a lot of stuff to say about this game, not just Mexico. But all I'm gonna say is, I'm very disappointed with Ecuador's game plan. I understand that all you need is a draw and you need to get through like that. But we saw many Euros games where they just needed a draw. Brian, how many games did you see Slovenia? How much time wasting did you see Slovenia do through their entire tourney? Because I know for a fact that they were just trying to draw it out and hope for the best. How much time wasting did you see those guys do?
Not even a lot, to be
They
honest.
did no time wasting, man. So the fact that Ecuador the whole game they were time wasting, I'm sorry. No. I'm not sorry to the Ecuadorian fans, the Ecuadorian players. I'm sorry to the rest of the people out there. But Ecuador were trash. They were horrible. The fact that they had to pull this shit out to go through is embarrassing, and I'm very excited. For the first time in my life, I will be rooting wholeheartedly for Argentina in my lifetime. So, and as everyone, every Mexican knows, every Mexican has that low-key hatred or rivalry with Argentina because they always knock us out of everything. But I will be rooting for them 100% because from the moment the game started to the end, they were just trying to just milk time and milk time and milk time and milk time. And it was just so jarring. I was like, bro, like the dumbest thing like would happen. Like they like my guy would just lie down, like, oh, I pulled my hammy, I pulled my, like, I was getting heated, man. Like, I was pissed. I'm like, I shouldn't have watched this game because I already knew what to expect from Mexico. And of course, what else, you know, like, of course, I'm not gonna surprise them, just like the US, I'm sure you'll mention it too. It took them 2.5, no, 2 3/4 games to finally switch up the formation because they love that 4-3-3 formation. And I've been saying for the longest that I hate that formation for them. It took them 2 3/4 games for them to finally switch up the formation to a 4-4-2. To finally change things up, which is what everybody's been dying for. And not only that, but when they switched that formation, they took out all the players that were doing good. And I'm like, this makes no sense, which I'm sure Brian will resonate with that one as well. But yeah, so I don't understand why they did things so late, why they left it to chance, but it's just very frustrating, especially since you know that Ecuador is going to sit back. So I would expect them to have two forwards up top just to put in long balls in because they're not going to let you get in the box like nothing. So I'm surprised that it took them so long to get it going, but I'm very disappointed with Ecuador and their game plan, like to just kill time. Like they from the first minute of the game, just kill time, kill time, kill time. Just drop and just milk it, just drop and milk it, drop and milk. I was so pissed. I was hoping, I'm like, bro, can we please get some World Cup level adage time? Like give them 15 minutes just to spite them. I was like, you bastards, man. I don't know. It was
And
spineless.
fun fact, we were because obviously we have a group chat with like my brother and
Our
some of our
family.
cousins and nephews, and then in that group chat we were just kind of just like joking around, saying like, I would say, I was like, yeah, they're gonna definitely add like 20 minutes here surely, like based off
Eight.
how much time has been wasted. And then I remember you had said, you're like,
They're
no,
gonna
they're
add
gonna give them
five
like 4 minutes
minutes.
more.
Yeah. They added
And they
eight.
literally gave them only like 8. I was like, bro, there's no way. But yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible, man. I'm like, these refs are trash, man. Like that ref that was reffing the Mexico game was so horrible. It looked like my guy had money on Ecuador to go through. He was giving no results for Mexico. He was giving no like calls for Mexico. And Brian was telling me about it. I at the end of the game, I was just done. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with this game. I'm done. I'm done with these guys. I'm just done. I don't want to talk about these bums no more. But I guess there was some chance. There were some pens, and I knew I wasn't tripping when I was watching the game. Some pens
Yeah.
that should have been called that were not called, but whatever, man. They want to rig it, or the ref wants to do what they're gonna do. I don't even know, man. But a lot of these refs are trash. Like I was telling Brian, and he'll talk about it when it comes to his games. But a lot of these refs, so like, there's a lot of hatred amongst like North American and Central American teams, and sometimes South Americans, like. They all have some type of rivalry and hatred towards one another, so they should have these refs be like European or from like a region that's not in the game, like be that's not playing, because it makes no sense the way that some of these refs were swaying the results. They should have a non-biased ref that doesn't have any hatred towards any team or any preference, because you could tell some of
Literally.
these referees were like leaning towards one side, you know, so. It was horrible, but just I'm gonna keep it short, man. But Ecuador, you're trash. I don't care. Like I said, we're gonna be I said professionals go professionality goes out the window the moment you do that trash, man. That's spineless, that's cowardice, and it's just the sorry way of going through, man. That's not even football. That's the sorry excuse for a result. Imagine like all the fans in the stadium, like you're just there, you're just like, bro, I'm like, can you guys play on, can you stop dropping for every 2 seconds? I was getting heated because I'm like, bro, this guy knows they're just dropping, why isn't he carding these guys? Not a single one of those players got a card for just dropping, just dropping. I'm like, goalies, like why are goalies the only players that'll get carded for like
Wasting
for
time.
wasting time, but the outfield players don't? Sometimes with the throw-in they'll do it, but you could tell when they're just dropping, they're just throwing, and they didn't give anything. So, man, fuck that ref. Made that. Hopefully that bum never refs the game ever again. Send that guy to go. If he loves Ecuador so much, send him to the Ecuadorian league, to that garbage league over there. So, but yeah, so have fun getting destroyed by Argentina next round. So, I mean, all that for what? Just to get knocked down next round? Because you guys aren't going to win it. They're not going to win anything. I don't know if Ecuador's ever won this tournament, but they never will, probably. Especially playing like that. The way a classless bunch of players executed a game. They ruined a good possible, like, group ender, and all the fans in the stadium just, like, wasted their time and money just to watch a bunch of flopping, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead, Brian. You give me your two cents on it, because I know you already heard from me and what I have to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, with the Venezuela, Mike, I'm just going to do that. I'll speed through that real quick. It was very obvious what was going to happen here. I mean, Jamaica has been having a very lackluster tournament. Like you said, they literally barely scored one. So, I mean, to be fair to them, they at least got that. But in this game, they just got shut out completely by Venezuela. After Venezuela scored their first one, it kind of just opened the floodgates, and it was over from there. But then to our lovely Mexico-Ecuador game, as you were saying, and I'll continue it, this has to be one of the most atrocious games I've ever seen in my life. Because, and I don't know how I stick around and watch the whole damn thing, but I somehow did. I, for some reason, thought, you know, I was like, you know what? Towards the end of another game, I was like, I seen a lot of momentum go Mexico's way. I'm like, it feels like a goal's coming. And for once, it actually didn't come. There was a chance at the end with a pen, which I will get to now, because there was two attempts that there could have been a pen. And they were so, so obvious. The first one was in the 51st minute. With, I forgot, what's the guy that has, like, the mini afro thing? He's the winger.
Cesar Huerta.
Yeah, that dude. He puts in a cross, like, a very short cross from inside of the box. Hits a defender straight in the arm. Keep in mind, hits him in the arm.
That's right.
After that ball hits him in the arm, he tries swiping it as fast as he can behind his back. But if you look closely, my man has his hand in a weird angle that you should not have your hand. If you're going to be defending that cross, you best have your hands behind your back. And that dude did not. So to me, that is a pen. There's no other thing. There's no and ifs or buts. Any day of the week, that's a pen. If that was a Euros game, and like, if you're trying to tell me that that does not have an influence on the play, because that was literally a sitter waiting to happen.
Yep.
So that was the first one that I thought was like very horrible. So from there on, I kind of seen that there was a little theme going. The ref didn't want to call anything. They had already been throwing themselves the whole game. Literally, like, I don't know. I've never seen a game where the same guy has got multiple, like, cramps in his leg, like, falling over and over again. There was this one specific dude. I don't remember his name. But that dude fell, like, four times in a row. And I'm just like, dude, I was like, how can you tear your hammy, like, five times? Like, get up, Hardy. Take this dude out if he's cramping that bad. Like, this dude has like a serious problem. Like, it was actually getting me mad. And trust me, when I tell you I love to root against Mexico, because like there's like a common theme here where Alfonso will root against my team and I'll root against his. It's kind of just like for the bants.
Yep.
You best believe I wanted Mexico to lose. But you best believe after watching this, I was hoping Ecuador would literally like I don't even know how to describe it. Like, have the worst performance of all time after like halftime. Like, I actually wanted Mexico to win, and that doesn't happen very often.
Yep.
So the fact that that happened was crazy. Okay, and so then let me bring you to the next one. I forget what minute it is, but it's when Santi Jimenez goes for a header. First of all, my man is getting held by the defender, pushing him down, by the way.
Yeah.
So that there is a foul. But then my man Santi headers it, and it hits the freaking defender right in the hand. And was it called a penalty? No, it wasn't. Should it have been a penalty? Yes, it should have. But here again, we can see. Like, I don't know if these refs had money on the Ecuador to win this game or to draw or to make it pass. Like, yeah, to go through. But literally, like, what are we doing, man? Like, these refs need to, like, actually get punished.
They need to be fired.
They should not ref ever again. And this Copa America, we better not see these refs ever again for another one of these matches. Because, like, if that happened here, what's going to happen in another game whenever it's, like, a bigger team or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. But, like, there was multiple occasions. And this isn't just this game, by the way. The whole refs, like, in all of Copa America. And I'll get to that when I get to that in the next game.
Yeah.
Because, oh, my God, it's literally been shown in every game. There's been, like, a ref that has been, like, obviously helping out out one side over the other. And I mean, obviously, like, if you're Ecuadorian, you're gonna be like, oh no, that wasn't the case. But literally, how many cards did you guys get for time wasting? Like, zero.
Yep.
How many times did they time waste? I think they, in the second half, I believe they wasted like a good like 20 minutes, literally like 20 minutes of just sitting there or like looking over at like fouls, or I forgot what there was, like one pretty big injury. I don't remember if it's at the beginning of the game or in the second half, but that wasted like a cool like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, literally everybody just throw themselves on the ground. I've never seen so many people fall to the ground. Like, I'm surprised the coach didn't fall to the ground and like tear something. Like, at this rate, like, literally everybody's on the ground. So it's just getting me mad. But I mean, I don't want to like shed any more light on that game just by the fact that, like, I don't even think we deserve to be talking about Ecuador here as if they put up this masterclass performance, because they really didn't. And the only reason Mexico isn't going through is because of how sorry they played. Like, how sad do you need to play just to go through, man? Like, at least put a fight. Show that you deserve to go through. At least try to score a goal. Like, even on the counters, man, at least try. Some of these dudes, like, they would, like, start a counter. They're like, actually, let's just take it back. And then they'd kick it right back to their defense. Like, dude, do something. At least entertain the crowd. Like, all these people are wasting their hard-earned money for this game just to see that. Like, all I can say is I'm glad I didn't go to that game. But, yeah, that's just my take. I didn't even want to get started on that one.
Yeah, man. We'll just move on. Congratulations, Venezuela, for a great group, and that's all we'll leave it at.
Yeah, and I'm sorry we don't get to talk about you that much, Venezuela, but it's just because you were just that much better than everybody in that group. I mean, they literally just, like, destroyed everybody. What more can you say? Like, it's a good thing that we're not really having much to say about you. But whenever it comes to guessing, we will have some stuff to say.
Yeah, well, good luck to Venezuela. Maybe they'll get lucky against some of these opponents, and maybe they'll make a run. So that'd be nice. I'd be down for. I don't think they've ever won it, so I'd be down for that one. They played good. They played honorably, and they deserve it. So on to Group C, a much better group. Why don't you take us away, Brian, with your good old U.S. of A. I know Brian was frustrated.
All right, so unfortunately for me, I was not watching the Panama Bolivia game because I was obviously tuned into the US Uruguay game. But what I do recall is at the moment, whenever I was like initially watching the game, I saw that Panama scored their first goal, and it was pretty early on. It was around like the 20-ish minute, I believe, or something around that. It was like 18, 20 around there. But so they had to score their first goal, and I was just like, dude, like, as soon as it happened, I was like, yeah, it's over. Like, why did I give myself hope? But then, you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the last USA game. You know, let's see if they put up a good performance to at least show that there's progress here, because a lot of people forget the USA team is so young. Like, these dudes are literally in their 20s. So for a lot of you, like, haters saying that, like, this golden generation thing didn't work out, first of all, the golden generation don't start until you guys actually start winning some. They have not won anything yet. So, like, until they actually start, like, putting in master performances, I better not hear any of that. And even then, these dudes aren't even matured yet. Like, that's how young they are, which is a little bit of what I've seen in the game. But anyway, so then as the game went on, Bolivia actually got one back. The first goal they have scored in the whole tourney, which was a shocker. I don't think anybody had Bolivia scoring at all. Yeah. So the fact that they even brought it back 1-1 was crazy. But unfortunately, they were not able to hold it on. They ended up letting one in at, like, the round, like, pretty late in the game, like 80-ish minute, I believe. And they let another one in, like, very last second of the game. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, unfortunately, congrats to Panama. This is the performance the U.S. should have put up against Bolivia. And unfortunately, the U.S. kind of sold against Panama with the with a way a red card, but if it wasn't for that, I think the U.S. goes through. But then, yeah, congrats to Panama, though. I mean, they did end up beating Bolivia how they should have, so it is what it is. But then we move to the USA-Uruguay game. And oh my God, when I tell you about the refs, man, let me get you started again. I thought the refs were bad in the Mexico game. Now this could be because I'm biased. I am a USA fan, so this makes me think the refs in the USA in the USA game were two times worse than what they were in the Mexico game. And I'll tell you how. I've sent the clips to Alfonso. I don't know if he ended up watching it.
I did.
But so the first one, and I'll bring it up very, very quickly. So, well, first, I'll mention the stuff that happened first. Okay, so first, there's the moment wherever it was around like the 31st minute, and the ref decides he wants to give a yellow card as Uruguay is attacking. However, my man pulls out a yellow card. And as he pulls out the yellow card, Uruguay decides they want to advance play. And he just literally just gives them the ball to end up being a one-on-one. And because he took out the yellow, and what do you do when there's a yellow? You stop the play. This man decided, nah, I'm just not going to stop the play. Just let Uruguay keep playing. So he just lets them keep playing, and he gives them a lucky one-on-one. Luckily, they ended up choking, and Matt Turner got a crazy save. But if it wasn't for Matt Turner, that should have been a goal. And the sad thing is that the ref was not going to take that back. He still let the throw-in happen, like, after, which shows my man did not care that he took out a red and kept the play going. In what world do you take out a yellow? Mid-yellow, you have out, you just like, oh, okay, let's keep playing. No, you don't. He didn't even get a point at who he was going to give it to. My man literally just took out the yellow, put it away, and just resumed play. And obviously, everybody on the U.S. team had stopped because clearly when you see a yellow, that's what it means. But hey, man, so that was one thing that already had like aggravated me at the beginning, and I knew it was gonna be a long day. But then the next time, I don't know if I ended up sending you this clip, but basically Pulisic, I forgot what it was. I think they had like just got an attacking position. Then we ended up kicking it out. It hits a defender's hand, and so Pulisic starts running down the wing. I keep this in mind. Pulisic had already run for like a cool 10 seconds. Man already reached the halfway line, and the ref decides, oh no, let's bring the ball back. Blows the whistle like 10 seconds late, and brings the ball back all the way to the keeper's box. Tell me how Pulisic is already attacking. Midway line, he has a one-on-one. He could easily have beat the one-on-one because he ended up later having a one-on-one and he kind of beat the one-on-one. I think it was even on Araujo, which, like, if you're going to say, like, oh, it was Araujo, he wasn't going to do anything anyways. He ended up cooking him later, so don't want to hear it. But anyways, so my man is already, like, on a one-on-one attack, and this dude decides, nope, let's just not call advantage, as we did earlier. Same occasion, right? You talk about consistency. If you're going to call that advantage earlier, which either way it should not have been called, call it now. But no, my man decides, let's not call that advantage and let's bring it all the way back to the goalie's box, which caused another a lot of frustration to the U.S. team. And this is, I'm not going to lie, this is kind of where they show a lot of immaturity, because I feel like in these moments, you kind of got to keep your cool. But I mean, even me watching, like, I was so heated after so much that had happened, it kind of just bugged me. So, like, I didn't blame him, but I'm just like, I mean, at the same time, you got to keep composed. Like, I'm not the one playing, so I can be mad, but they should, like, somehow keep their cool. And I mean, you could see that they're still very young because everybody was literally, like, throwing a big fit about it, but it is what it is. And then you get to the, oh my God, then you get to the goal. And I don't know if you've seen, I definitely sent this one to Alfonso. But in the angle of the Uruguay goal, you can clearly see that the U.S. defender is ahead or like behind the Uruguay attackers who ended up scoring the header, and somehow they still got called a goal. Tell me why they reviewed this and everything. You can even see it in the lines of the picture that the Uruguay attacker is past.
You don't even need the lines.
Yeah. You could see that he's past.
he's offside, man.
Yeah, but man is offside.
And these guys just decide, no, like, if there's ever been a ref that I think rigged the game, it was this one. And, like, it was just so bad, man. Like, this game should have easily have been a draw. And once again, don't get it twisted. The U.S. threw this themselves. They lost to Panama. They shouldn't have lost to Panama. They ended up getting a red, which cost them the game. So no matter what. But I'm just saying, like, dude, this should not be happening in a game like this. Like, if somehow, if Panama ended up drawing with Bolivia and this happens, like, what do you think the reaction would have been? Like, I feel like it didn't get as much reaction as it did because Panama ended up winning anyways. But I feel like if they would have drawn, oh my God, the discussion this would have caused. And then, okay, so then you think it's over, right? Surely that's it. Surely that's all that happened in the game. A lot of controversy with the refs and the players. No, after the game, Pulisic goes over because Pulisic is a captain. He goes to shake everybody's hand. And the middle ref, the main ref of the game, does not want to shake Pulisic's hand. Like, what kind of shit is that, man? I don't care what happened the whole game. When the captain goes over to shake your hand, you shake the captain's hand. If you're mad, oh well, shake his hand, move on. But no, this man decides, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. And what does that show to everybody else? That literally, like, this can ruin the integrity of the game, by the way. You doing this can show that, like, you have something against the US, and this should get that man, like, his job lost. I'm not one to call on people's jobs. I want people to feed their families and everything that comes with that. But no, like, this man actually deserves to lose his job because that is, like, so unprofessional. And I don't know how you can kind of keep the integrity of the game there if you're doing this kind of nonsense, because then it, like, what does this look like? It looks like he has a clear bias against the US. So, like, I don't even know what you do from there. But that was basically this game. A lot of just, I mean, I feel like for once the US kind of had what they had, like, sorted out. Like, they finally put out the formation they should have. They put Musa in the midfield. They had Gio Reyna on the wing. I mean, what's his face? Weah wasn't in. Like, they had Scaly. Like, I feel like this was actually the lineup that they finally got right, even though it was way too late. And then even then, like, I wasn't expecting them to come out and put like a 3-0 on Uruguay, because Uruguay is Uruguay, let's not get it twisted. And Uruguay put up their best lineup, like always. These guys just don't like putting in their backups, which got a couple of players hurt, but it is what it is. And yeah, so like I genuinely thought they actually kind of got it right. I liked their attack that they had, because obviously they couldn't attack like normal. They started off the game very attacking, but then they kind of ended up turning it to they kind of ended up turning it to like basically a counterattacks, and even their counterattacks were very effective. I think there was a chance like late in the game where Pulisic kind of breaks a one-on-one and he crosses it in. He kind of gives a little bit too, like a little bit, I would say, a shitty cross, you would say, because if he would have ended up getting through, you could have had Pepe score. But I mean, Pepe was in a weird position
Pepe
anyways. And
score?
yes, exactly. Too bad he was in a weird position like always, man. Doesn't know how to get open. Oh, and then the other thing too that I think was the one downfall that I did see in this game that I did hate, Balogun did have to get out, but I mean, I forgot why he got out. I'm pretty sure it's because of injury. But yeah, he ended up getting out like pretty quickly. I believe it was like before the first half even ended, and Pepe had to come in, which wasn't exciting at all. But it is what it is, man. Like after that, I wasn't really expecting much to happen, but I think they actually had it. I had the lineup that I would put moving forward. I feel like they played very well. If it wasn't for the refs, I think they could end up getting something going here. But I mean, whenever you have a ref like cutting the momentum every 3 seconds, you just can't really do anything, man. You just got to move forward. But yeah, that's all I got to say for this game. I don't. Oh, and congrats to Uruguay. They did end up scoring, I guess, even though it was offsides. But hey, man, if it counts, it counts, I guess. Oh, and another thing I will say, Darwin did get a yellow. If man gets one more yellow, he's gonna find himself losing the game, so he better not get a yellow. And this guy loses his head very quickly, so let's hope he
Yes.
doesn't get a yellow just for his sake.
Yes, Darwizzy for player of the tournament.
But yeah, your thoughts? Your thoughts?
You forgot to say congrats to Panama.
No, I don't want to say that.
What? They played honorably.
No, they
Hey, I'll give them this. They knew their game plan was to rattle you guys and then at the end, tactical foul. So They yeah. pulled it out, man. But
that's making me angry, but it is what it is.
I get it, but that's the game, man. So sometimes it is what it is. But
yeah. I did say congrats, so I said congrats to them.
Did you? I didn't hear it. But yeah. All right. Well, good thing you're being a good sport about it, Brian. But yeah. So it's funny. Like, I don't want to say I told you so, but when we recorded the first episode. And Brian was happy that the U.S. beat Bolivia 2-0. And I said, 2-0 isn't enough against Bolivia. You need to score more because it's a team that's very, very bad. They're not good at all. So you should be putting more against it because it comes down to
it. I told you. I was like, don't sleep on Panama. You had said it was so easy. I was like, dude, don't sleep on them.
Don't use them as an excuse, as a scapegoat, my guy. I said it. You realistically should not be getting knocked out by Panama. Come on, man. Realistically, you should not be losing to them.
Insults in his head.
Hey, I am saying props to them. They did great. They proved a lot of people wrong, but I'm just saying you should not be getting knocked out by Panama. But, I don't know, I told you that there wasn't enough because in case you drew Panama, I mean, they pulled out the win, but had you guys drawn Panama and it went down a goal difference and they scored more goals on Bolivia, you guys were going to be in trouble. And it almost came to fruition. Had you guys drawn and they would have drawn, you know, it would have came down to goal difference and they could have been the decider there. So that's what I was saying. Like, you guys needed more goals for sure and you guys didn't get them from Bolivia. And then Panama, that game was unlucky for you guys. And then the Uruguay game, yeah, man, like, that goal was so offside. It was such a clear offside. It was hilarious. I'm like, bro, how is that good? You know, like, how'd that go in? And I did see that clip you sent it. You didn't send it to me, but I believe I saw the highlights. And I saw that clip where, like, they pulled it back. It's like, what are you doing, bro? Like, yeah, no, that's bad. Like, I'm like, you can't. First of all, you're supposed to always play advantage no matter what. If they got the ball, they got the ball. Someone could get freaking clotheslined and swept under, and you're supposed to play advantage if you still have ball regardless. But the fact that my opinion, the only thing that should stop the play is a red card offense. You know? No, but yeah, usually whenever there's a card involved, usually they wait for the play to end before they issue yellow cards, which makes no sense. Yeah. And if it was someone off the field, then okay, fine. But if it was on the field, that's a different story. But all that stuff is just, it's dumb, you know? Like, it reminds you of that Real Madrid Champions League game against Bayern where, like, they blew too early and all the players stopped playing, you know? So, and then they scored and then people were like, oh, but we don't know what would have happened. So, exactly. Like, I don't know why he would have blown there. And then I don't know why he didn't play the advantage for the U.S. You could tell he was very one-sided. And then at the end when I saw that clip when Brian sent it to me, I was like, bro, that looks so bad on the ref. It's like you got to have good sportsmanship, especially, like, since you're a ref. You can't have any bias or, like, you can't be leaning one way. You can't be swayed away. You're supposed to be neutral. So that's bad. I don't know. I hope this bum gets fired. And you said about feeding his family. That's tough, man. He should have thought about that before he ruined this game. Like, the U.S. had a chance, and I feel like he screwed them over big time. So forget this guy. This guy's trash. But it's just like the thing I said about the Mexico game. I said, why did it take them until this game to finally play the right formation? I've been telling you forever. Timothy Weah is trash. I do not care. He should not get called up. He doesn't even play good. Why is he getting called up? Just because his name is Weah? I'm like, why is he getting called up? He doesn't even perform good in, like, club play, so why is he getting called? You know? So, and even if he does, why is he starting? Because he's obviously not, he's like, he may get game time, but he doesn't contribute to anything. So why is he starting every single time? Why is he, like, a guaranteed starter? And I was telling Brian, I was like, you guys should play Yunus Musa because I'm like, I don't say I'm biased because I do like La Liga and I pay attention to La Liga, and Yunus Musa does play. He is like integral part of the Valencia offense, and he's solid. Like, don't get me wrong, like, he's one of the few players that I don't dislike from the U.S. team. He's a good player. So the fact that they had him on the bench and they had Gio Reyna as the center mid, I'm like, Gio Reyna's a cam. At most, maybe a winger. I'm like, he is not a center midfielder. Like, he just can't play that role. So they shouldn't be playing him in that role. Like, they should be playing him on the wing.
And Shaq, he had his better game today that he was on the wing.
Exactly, man. And then Yunus Musa had a decent game in the midfield. They just couldn't pull it out. And it doesn't help when you're playing against 12 men. But even then, it finally took them until this game to finally get it going and get it clicking. Like, by putting the right – crazy. You put the right players in and you get good results. Crazy, right? Yeah. Who would have thunk, you know? But yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's just these guys, this Greg Berhalter guy is a bum, man. He's the one setting back this entire nation, let alone the program. Without him, they'd be doing much better because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's clueless. Like, this formation against Panama and Bolivia would have done much better. They probably would have went, if they played this formation in the in this lineup and the other games, they would have went through 100%. In my opinion, 100%, they would have went through. But, I mean, they waited until the very last moment when they played the best team in the group. And I don't know if I said it on the pod or not, but I guess Uruguay's coach Bielsa is known to not rest players. And you saw it. They did not rest players. They rarely did at all. They don't like resting players, and I get it. Like, in a tournament setting, when you rest players, they might, like, lose their rhythm or their groove or, like, you know, like, you don't want to sit them for too long because if they got momentum and they're doing good and they're performing – you want them to kind of keep doing that over and over and over. You know, you don't want them to, like, lose that momentum and lose that spark they got going. So I understand it. It kind of backfired a little bit because I know they had some players that got some knocks. And then Darwizzy got a yellow. And then they had a...
Yeah.
You know?
But even then, like, you could always put somebody in and then sub them out, like, at half or, like, right before half. Like,
yeah, man, most, just yeah. Like,
Could, like, if you don't want to ruin someone's rhythm, give them 30 minutes, give them 40. But, like, man just wanted to, like, Darwin Nunez played the whole game. And I don't think that dude came off, like, once. And if he did, he probably came off for, like, the last 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Because that dude stayed in the whole time. Like, give these dudes a half if you want to keep to keep the rhythm and then sub them out, man. Like, for your sake, I believe Araujo, that dude came off early because of an injury that he got. We'll see if he ends up playing or not. But, I mean, like, stuff like this happens when you take that risk. So you kind of just got to take it when it comes, because if you're going to play like this, you got to deal with the repercussions.
Yeah, exactly, because I was going to say, they, like, no offense, but they were guaranteed to go through. Their goal difference is 8.
Yeah.
Let's say they don't beat the U.S., right? It was a 7-goal difference. Panama would have had to score 7 more goals. So they would have had to win this game like 10-1. And there was no chance they were going to win this game 10-1. So there was no way that they would drop down a second. So they're pretty much a lock for the next stage. So the fact that he fielded the best, and don't get me wrong, I get it, the best team, they went up against the best team in the group, the U.S., and he wanted to make sure that he played the best 11, which is, it's such an old school mentality. Like, I've mentioned this before on the pod, like, when we talk about Real Madrid, that Ancelotti's method is like that. That's how he grew up, like, that's how he came up as a manager. It was like, you field your best 11, and the rest, they're just there for complimentary and strategy and like changing up tactics. They're not there to start games. They're there for like rotation, for like options, you know. So you play your best 11, and that's that. You don't rotate nothing. You don't put nobody else in. You don't experiment. You don't give the guys minutes. You just play your best team, and that's that. So Bielsa's kind of like that too. So hopefully it doesn't backfire for him, because they're gonna need it next round big time. So let's see how that goes. All I gotta say is that Uruguay gets knocked out next game, Bielsa low-key is to blame, but they shouldn't let him go because he's a great manager and he's doing great things for them. But he should have rested some players realistically, because that they were due to go. It was guaranteed to go through. And if you wanted to get these guys like some game time and some rhythm, like Brian said, you play them for some amount of halftime and then you call it a game, you know. So I don't know what he was doing there. Hopefully he didn't risk losing some of these guys to injury for the rest of the tournament, because that would be a big loss. Yeah. But, yeah, so that was Group C. It was a great group, because congrats to Uruguay and Panama. It's unfortunate. Panama's reward is they play a very, very, very strong team. But, I mean, hey, it's a flex, bro.
It is very brilliant, in my opinion.
But, hey, props to them. Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. But even then, hey, like, I don't know if Panama, like, I'm not too knowledgeable about it, but I don't know if they've ever made it out of the group, out of the Copa America. I don't know if they've ever made it to the knockouts or what or this or that, but congrats to them. Even though the Central Americans have their beef with North Americans and South Americans, I full support Panama 100%. Congrats. We got to hope that these CONCACAF guys make it go a little further, even though I don't know how much further they'll go because they're about to face some really strong opposition. But we root for them and wish them the best, even though they are our rivals, our CONCACAF rivals. We hope that they progress well and represent and pick up the slack for our trash teams that did not do anything. But, yeah. Yeah, so...
I don't wish them
well. I don't blame you, Brian. I can't say anything. We didn't play Panama. I've never had beef with Panama. I never had any hatred towards them growing up, so I don't know. But I understand. I mean, they knocked you guys out. And they almost injured your players, so I get it.
Yeah, but anyway.
Group D.
Congrats to Uruguay.
And Panama.
Yeah, that's what I said. Congrats to them and congrats to Uruguay.
All right, then. On to them, the best group of
them is Panama.
All right. Congrats to the CONCACAF teams that performed. How's that?
Yeah. There
you go. All right. So, on to Group D.
We'll start off with the game that I wasn't expecting. So Costa Rica, Paraguay. I was telling Alfonso, I didn't get to catch this game, but my dad did, and he was telling me that Paraguay scored a screamer, and that they did. Man scored a missile from like the court, from the edge of the box, and it was like there was no saving that. Like there was literally just no saving that. I think it got like a barely like any little bit of a deflection, but that thing was just a rocket. Like nothing was moving that ball. So that goal by Paraguay was amazing. But Costa Rica did shock me here. I'm not gonna lie. I was expecting Costa Rica to lose. But they scored one early on, and then right after that, they scored another one back-to-back. Within 10 minutes, they had scored two. And I think this gave them the confidence and, like, the, what would I say, the momentum to kind of carry the game.
I thought they were going to win, 7-0 after this one, honestly.
Literally. So, like, whenever I had seen the replay and I seen that they had scored two early on, I was just kind of, like, shocked that they didn't end up scoring more, like you said. Like, I feel like they could have scored a lot more. But, I mean, I feel like it kept the momentum up for a very good amount of time until Paraguay ended up scoring one. But even then, I feel like it was a little bit too late because I feel like they had kind of already done, like, taken care of business in the first half. Like, I feel like if they were going to end up losing, I feel like Paraguay needed one pretty early to kind of respond. But they ended up getting it a little bit late. But, yeah, Costa Rica just played a very good game. They were very attacking for once. Like, they actually looked like they knew what they were doing. And, I mean... it ended up paying out for them. Unfortunately, they didn't get to go through, but I mean, they put on a good last performance for the last game before everything ended for them. So good on them. And then the Brazil-Colombia game. So I'm going to mention it before I forget because, once again, we hate these refs in the Copa America. At least I do. Like, I hate these guys. There's a moment where, once again, I told Alfonso before the podcast started. I am not a big Vinny fan. I hate Vinny with a passion. I don't know why. I just do not like this guy. I think it's because every time I watch him, he like flops a lot. Like he's known for flopping a lot instead
everyone
of keeping
flops.
The point. Yeah, every once in a while, a lot of the whiles. He likes to fall, and he'll have his moments where like in a game, he'll like end up instead of like keeping the play going where he usually can, he'll kind of just like fall and then. You'll get into like this, like a little diva moment where he starts having his moments with the refs, like claiming why they're not giving him fouls, this and that. And sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. It is what it is. But in this very particular game, I noticed from the very beginning that he was not getting calls his way, and it was kind of unfortunate because later on, man has a clear shot one on one. And he gets fouled, the defender gets no contact with the ball, and he gets a clear pen. And what is it called? Not a pen. And I'm telling you, these guys have something against Vinny. Like, this is the second game in a row where man should have had a pen, and he did not get a pen.
And I don't know what it is, what, like, these refs just should not be reffing. They should get better, high-quality refs. If they need to bring some from Europe, bring them from Europe. I don't care who it is. As long as it's not the same people that have been reffing, because these guys don't deserve to ref. It is just that plain and simple. Like, they need to go back to these other shitty leagues where they fucking belong, because this is not it. But, so yeah, that kind of, I feel like that kind of ruined the game, because at the very beginning of the game, they start off very good. Rafinha scored a screamer off of a free kick. And I will not, like, I know you're not the biggest fan of Rafinha, but that dude has been playing good these last two games. And me personally, I think he's, like, performing right when they need him to, because I feel like they kind of need someone to step up, and he's actually stepped up a lot in the wing. He's been creating a lot of chances. And I've actually been very, like, impressed with what I've been seeing from Rafinha. So, because this isn't usually the typical Rafinha that you see for Barcelona.
Heck no.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Like, this Rafinha and the other Rafinha are two different people. Like, this guy is not what was shown in the regular season. But, yeah, so he's been performing very well, and I'm, like, glad for him. But, yeah, I mean, after that Vinny, if they would have got that Vinny penalty, I don't think Colombia ends up scoring, because right after that Vinny penalty that should have been, they got an easy counterattack. And then on that counterattack from that one moment in the game, they ended up scoring right before the half. So, but, I mean, it is what it is. Colombia capitalized on the moment. They just kept playing the ball. Whenever stuff like that's going, you can only, like, keep playing. I mean, if they had the refs in their favor, it is what it is. You kind of just keep moving. But one person I will shout out is my boy James, man. He has been putting in a shift all tournament, and not even just offensively. My man, I think it was, like, right before the 20th minute, this dude goes back and, like, puts in a crucial tackle on somebody who's going down the wing. And, like, so he's not only playing attacking, that dude is going back on defense. He's doing the dirty work. He's doing it on both sides of the pitch. So, I mean, shout out to him. I feel like he's been having a great tourney, and he's actually been, like, putting up a massive performance for Colombia. So, after this, we'll see what happens, because I'm sure, like, a lot of he's getting a lot of interest right now based off the way that he's playing. So we'll see how that ends up going for him. But shout out to him. I think Luis Diaz had a solid of a game, could have had a goal or two, but he missed a couple of chances. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this game was very close attacking from both teams. I feel like Brazil started off very attacking and then kind of died down. And then Colombia had their moments after they scored. But yeah, that's kind of this game summed up. But one thing that we will talk about that is very crucial, Vinny Jr. got a yellow, which means he's going to miss the next game. And this is going to hurt Brazil a lot. But one thing it does mean is that the boy Endrick could potentially see his first minutes on the pitch. He was in the practice game, so they know what they're getting themselves into, so they could clearly put him in. But who knows, they'll probably throw in somebody else because they don't want to throw him in. But, yeah. Oh, and another thing I will not forget. Marquinhos needs to not play anymore. This guy needs to go. There's too many times. Like, there was that one Alisson chance where I'm pretty sure you've seen it, where Alisson, like, throws and he almost gets them a goal.
Yeah.
But if you look very closely before that, Marquinhos gives them a very, like, controversial pass. Like, why are you even passing it back at that moment? At that moment, you just clear if the defender is that close to you. Like, don't put your you don't put your goalkeeper in a risk right there. But even then, like, every time I see some error in the defense, it's never Militao, it's never Danilo, it's always Marquinhos. Yeah. Always. Like, this man is never to be found. Every time there's someone in the box, man looks clueless. Like, it looks like he doesn't know who to go to. Every time there's an attack and you see, like, there's one wide open player, you can be like, oh, I wonder who's guarding him. It's probably Marquinhos. So, like, this guy actually needs to go. And, like, I know you were saying it early on that Marquinhos or that you thought Militao was not the problem. And I can tell you now that he's not been the problem. It has been Marquinhos this whole time. So they need to get that sorted if they want to make a serious push. But
they need
we'll
to swap him out for Bremer.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Nice summary there, Brian.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I think after the whole Group B and Group C fiasco with all this stuff going down, because these refs, man, like, even if I don't get me wrong, I shit on the U.S. and I rank on them and I obviously root against them. But like, bro, like at the end of the day, I want them to lose because they lost, you know, because they are trash, not because the ref decided to side with this team or that team. Same with Mexico. Like I said, if they lose to Ecuador straight up, hey, GG's, fair game. It is what it is. We go next time, you know, like, hey, they went all out. But like the way they went out, I wasn't okay with it. It was so stupid, and it just pissed me off, man. But like, a fair game is a fair game. If they go out there, even though they're a little too late, but if they go out there and they put everything on the pitch, I can't get mad. I would just be disappointed and sad. But it just didn't go that way, man. I was pissed, man, and it was just stupid. So by then, I was already, like, numb to this tournament. I was like, man, this tournament's trash, man. Just get out of here. So even with the Colombia-Brazil game, I didn't even tune into that one. I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't even tune into that one. And I knew it was going to be a good game. But, so that game was crazy. Colombia had a chance to win it at the end, and Ibore missed that shot, man. And that Vinny pen, bro, I saw that. That was a pen 100%. Don't get me wrong. I love Vinny. Vinny is a great player. He plays for my club, Real Madrid. Sometimes, don't get me wrong, but it's not just Vinny. A lot of players do. Like, when I was watching Mexico, a lot of these guys would just go down, go to ground. I'm like, bro, keep fighting. I'm like, fight. Because worst comes to worst, like, you're already in a bad position. So if you fight for possession and you keep the ball to go for a shot, they may keep, like, forcing their hand, and they might make it more a more obvious, like, looking foul or, like, touch that sells it. You know, like, you pushing through to try and score and them keeping, like, advancing towards you will sell the foul better and, you know, like, you know, be better. So don't get me wrong, like, so a lot of players dive, like you said, Vinny does sometimes go to ground very easily for Madrid, and I get frustrated because I'm like, dude, I'm like, come on, man, I'm like, but a lot of players do it for it. Almost every team has that player, has at least one player that dives or goes down too easy, and you're like, fight for the ball, man, or fight to create a shot, and it's frustrating, but that was a pen 100%, so they're robbed there a bit, and it's funny, the thing that Vinny said that the CONMEBOL is against them and stuff like that. And honestly, like, no lie, like, I know I'm a big Argentina hater and stuff like that, but and don't get me wrong, like, don't think just because of Messi, like, I've disliked Argentina since I was a kid, because when I was a kid, Argentina and Brazil were the two teams that would knock out Mexico out of every major tournament. They'd make the round of 16, and they'd always be playing either Argentina or Mexico, or I mean, Argentina or Brazil every time. So I was like, nah. So the only reason why I don't dislike Brazil is because, like I said, the reason that got me really liking the sport was, like, R9 was my favorite player as a kid, and, like, all the Brazilians, you know, like, at the time that suited up for Real Madrid. But, like, don't get me wrong, it has nothing to do with Messi. I've disliked Argentina since I was a kid, before Messi even was playing. So nothing against them, but you can tell the CONMEBOL always, they always have some type of preference towards Argentina. Like, so look at these groupings, man. I'm like, the easy side was made for them, like, they were guaranteed, like, to be chilling, like, easy path to the finals, as long as they don't throw it themselves. But like, the thing about the CONMEBOL, I'm starting to believe it, man. I feel like they're against them and stuff like that, so I don't know what's gonna happen, but, like, they need to get it together and stop being so biased towards Argentina. But but one thing that I've been frustrated, and I've been telling Brian, I'm pretty sure I said it here, but if not, but I said they, leading up to this tournament, were playing Endrick and all the games to prepare for this tournament, all just to end up benching him and not giving him any game time. What was the point of preparing him to play if you're not going to play him? What's the point in him starting all these preparation games if he's not even going to see the pitch? It makes no sense. And I told Brian, don't get me wrong, Vinny and Rodrigo pulled it out this season playing at striker, but it's not their best position. I feel like Rodrigo is much better as a cam behind a striker than as opposed as a striker himself. And Vinny, like, obviously, he's Vinny, so of course he can create a shot and he can, like, cause some chaos, but he's also not a striker, you know? They both aren't. So the fact that they're playing Rodrigo at striker, I'm like, come on, man. And then I was so excited to see, like, my Madrid front three, like, suiting up together. And don't get me wrong, Rafinha had a good game this one time, but any other time, Rafinha's always trash. He got one good goal, we can't negate all his bad performances because he scored one goal. That's not how it works. He's still been trashed the previous two games. I've been saying, why are they playing this guy?
All right, the second game, he was putting in some chances.
I mean, if you call it just running down the wing, cutting in and crossing chances, I mean, to no one, I guess.
Hey, man, if it worked.
But I mean, I don't know.
With Brazil? one thing I will mention with Brazil, a lot that I've noticed with Brazil is that these dudes just cross it into the box. Like, what happened to, like, a lot of this, like, tiki-taka play where they kind of, like, break
style, down? But I get it.
Yeah, like, a lot of, I feel like a lot of times they're actually, like, breaking these teams down, but, like, I've been seeing a lot of just cross, 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 and pray, so I don't know what's going on here, they but, I mean, like, FIFA. Obviously, yeah, obviously, down Vinny's side, it's, like, he'll actually, like, create, but, like, whenever Vinny's not there, like, it's literally just cross, 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 or, like, these midfielders, they literally just panic, and it's, like, cross, 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 I'm just like, dude, like, do something, get open, like, I know you guys can, you guys have the roster to do it.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know, I wasn't the biggest fan. Like I said, I know he's a Barcelona player, and besides that, I mean, he's trash for Barcelona, so I'm not tripping about the whole Barcelona 10-year thing. But one thing is that I've been saying, like I said, I want them to run, you know, Vinny on the left, Gendrick, you know, like in the middle, and then Rodrigo on the right. They're not doing it, and now Vinny's unfortunately out. And I told Brian, I hope what they do is they move Rodrigo to his natural position, which is left wing, and then they have they leave Rafinha on the right, whatever, who cares? But then they play Endrick at striker. But I already know what's going to happen. They're going to leave Rodrigo at striker, and they're going to bring in Gabriel Martinelli. No offense, Gabriel Martinelli has more experience. He's like a little more defined player. He's not as much as a raw prospect as Endrick is. But that's what I wanted. That's what I want for them. And I just know they're going to bring in Martinelli. And Brazil's going to be going up against Uruguay. So, of course, they need to field their best and most experienced lineup up there. So, I'm feeling they're going to most likely play Martinelli. And it makes sense. Yeah. I'm a little frustrated that they did all that hyping up for the tournament with Endrick to not play the guy at all. Like, I don't know, if someone made a call and were like, hey, you can't be playing Endrick, you gotta bench him, like, we can't have him being the star of the team or whatever, we can't have him breaking Pelé's records, I don't even know what was going on, man, but, yeah, so, yeah, pretty much, like, no offense to the Costa Rica part, I didn't watch any of these games, because I was just not there, and I didn't watch these highlights, I watched Colombia-Brazil one so, but yeah, But Costa Rica, like I told Brian, the last podcast we recorded, is that I said that Costa Rica did their part. They got that 0-0 from Brazil, and they had to hope that Colombia would just lay into Brazil and score a lot of goals, and then if Costa Rica scored some goals, they would have been able to slip through, you know. So that could have happened. So they did their part, and props to them. They proved me wrong. I said without Keylor Navas, they're going to be nothing. I'm like, I don't recognize any of their players. The only player that I could remember in the past I was playing for them, besides Keylor Navas, was like Joel Campbell. And I don't even know if he's even playing for them anymore. And he's not really the player that he used to be. So I'm like, I don't even know who even plays for Costa Rica. So I was like, I can't see them going through, especially without Keylor Navas. But hey, they proved me wrong. They did great. You know, they performed. And like, hey, it's a good start for the future, like in the post Keylor Navas era, after the generation of where they made it to that quarterfinals in the World Cup, you know, that was a great achievement. And I know they're building towards the future. So it's a good start, and they're looking bright. So if you're Costa Rican or a Costa Rican fan, I'm sure you're excited, because they did much better than they could have done, you know. But they just were short at the end, but it is what it is. But yeah, so that is Group D there. So we are going to move on to our predictions for the round of, well, there's no round of 16, but the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final. And there's no predictor this time, so we're going to see what happens with the Razzle Dazzle, like I said last time. I got lucky with the Euros, and I found a predictor, so I just re-recorded it, so. In case you guys were wondering, I was like, what happened with the Razzle Dazzle? I'm like, yeah, I said, can the Razzle Dazzle? Yeah.
Brian, you could go ahead and go.
I was going to ask, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first.
All righty. Okay, Argentina 10-0, Ecuador easy next. Realistically, they need to score 5 past these guys. 5. Yeah. They need to score 5 for me. Hey, I don't know if Messi's going to play. I guess he had a knock, and I don't know what they want to do. I mean, Ecuador, yeah. I feel like they underperformed in the group stages, and they're a little trash. So I don't know if they rest Messi or they risk him there, but they got the depth. They got the quality. They got the talent on the here, man. They got all these guys. If Messi don't play, give my boy Di Maria drop a hattie on these bums' heads. I gotta say, well, one of my Madrid guys, former Madrid guys, so drop a hattie for me, Di Maria, and I'll be happy. So we'll see what happens. Realistically, I'm gonna go 3-0. Honestly, I know Argentina's been like kind of narrowly winning, but I'm gonna go 3-0 because these guys are trash. They can't. There's no tie, so that unless these guys are gonna try and kill time and hope for penalties, because they announced that there's no extra time, so they're gonna just drop all game and wait for pens. But what were you saying, Brian?
Oh, I was like, yeah, key thing to remember: no extra time for Copa America. It's going straight to pens after the last whistle of the 90th minute. So
I don't know how I feel about it, but
yeah, one thing to kind of just be aware of, like. Because I feel like a lot of the times we're going to end up forgetting because of the Euros. We're going to be like, oh, extra time.
Yeah. But
nope. Well, it is.
I mean, that's interesting. But I mean, most of the time, the extra time is a little boring. So, it's fine. Most of the time, people are like waiting and hoping for pens. So, it's all good. I was
gonna say, this will be more prone for upsets, though.
Yes, exactly. But I don't know. Argentina, for sure. Unless Ecuador, they spend the whole game on the ground. I don't even know. But they're going to fake some concussions here or there. So, we'll see what happens. Argentina 3-0, they go through 100%. Easy clap. Next game, Venezuela, Canada. I feel like Canada just barely squeezed through. Venezuela is such on a tear. Like, no offense, not to tear down our CONCACAF rivals here, our compatriots, kind of. Well, we share the same conference, so either way, I know that's probably not what the word means. But I'm just going to tip the scales in Venezuela because Venezuela has been really strong. No offense to Canada, but I could see either or happening. We'll see what Canada shows up, and we'll see how they do against Venezuela. But Venezuela is just like red hot at the moment, and I could see them keeping that momentum going. So for sure, Venezuela is going to join Argentina in the semifinals for sure. All right, so the next one, I said Uruguay is winning this whole thing. Brazil was going to underperform, and I knew it was going to happen, and I was right. And Vinny's not playing, man. That's a big crucial point for them right there. So it's sad to see them go out in the quarterfinals. But some of my Madrid guys are going home regardless. So I'm going to say Uruguay gets it done, man. We'll see how the players that they had knocks, if they play or not. But I feel like Uruguay is going to pull it out. They've been doing really solid. We'll see how my boy Darwizzy does. It copes against Brazil. Brazil, if you want a chance of going through, play the lineup I said and take out that bum Marquinhos because he's a liability. Every single time it's a Militao covering up for his mess ups and cleaning up after him and Alisson. So if you guys want to for sure go through, I would swap him out for Bremer, in my opinion. But we'll see how that goes. But Uruguay's going to go through. And then for the next one, Panama, great, great performance. Thank you for coming. You guys made it further than anybody expected. I would be proud if I were you guys and happy and excited, but Colombia is going to win this one 100%. Oh, I didn't give my score like Venezuela, Canada. I'm going to go 2-1. Uruguay, Brazil, I'm going to go 1-0. And then Colombia, Panama, I'm going to go 3-0. You know what? I'll give them 3-1. Panama, I feel like they'll pull them back. We'll do 3-1 Colombia, Panama. And then for the semifinals, I'm going to put Argentina to win it. Like I said, I don't want to go too bold because Venezuela is doing good, but they're doing good, but I don't think good enough to beat Argentina. So I'm gonna go Argentina to make it to the final. I'm gonna go that they're gonna win this one 2-0. So there you go, Argentina to the final. And then on the other side, we're going to go, so Uruguay, Colombia, such a big game. My opinion, whoever wins this game wins the whole tourney, in my opinion. I see it this way. They're both very strong. They both look very good. But I said Uruguay is winning this tournament. I'm going to tip the scales to Uruguay. And Fede Valverde did say that he would trade in 2 UCLs for 1 Copa America. So I know he's determined. And this is his chance because all the big boys are underperforming. So if they made it to the semis at this point, they have a clear shot at a final, let alone the win the whole thing. So I'm going to say Uruguay wins this one. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to go 2-1. Uruguay squeeze through and they go to the final. And then for the third place game, I'm going to say that Colombia gets third. They're excited. They're proud of the performance, that they've done pretty well to make it this far. Sorry, Venezuela, but Colombia is just too good at this moment. I'm going to go Colombia 3-0 against Venezuela. And then the final, we got Uruguay and Argentina. And I'm just going to go 2-0 straight up right there. So 2-0 Uruguay against Argentina. And, but yeah, so Uruguay wins it all. And yeah, so that's my predictions there. Well, what do you think, Brian?
Oh, real quick, shout out to Suarez playing 1 minute in the last game.
It was so nice of Bielsa to sub him in for 1 minute. So nice of him.
Yep. Yeah, he put in a fat shift. But anyways.
I know, right?
So, very similar predictions, very similar. But I am going to change it up just for the memes, because I could have easily had the exact same thing. So, I'm going to have Argentina, Ecuador. Argentina's going to win, like, 3-0, I would say. Then Venezuela, Canada. Sorry, Canada. I did have you as like a little dark horse, but your time is over. Now I have it as like another 3-0. Actually, I'll be nice. No, I won't. 3-0. They haven't really scored at all this whole tourney, so we'll just let it be. So then the one game, I would want to go Brazil, but like this is the one where I want to switch it up just to switch it up, but I'm not going to. Because I'm going to switch it up elsewhere. But because, like, I actually don't think there's a way Brazil pulls it out. I feel like Uruguay has literally been, like, on such a tear right now that they kind of have the momentum. So it's going to just keep going that way. And unfortunately, Vinny is a big, massive piece for Brazil. And I don't think they're going to end up putting out the lineup that we both suggested. So I think it's just going to be a Uruguay 2-0 over Brazil. And then Colombia, Panama. Gladly, Colombia 10-0. Just kidding. I think it'll be pretty close. I think I'll go 3-1 as well.
Okay.
Because I feel like they'll end up getting one pretty early, but I feel like Colombia will end up taking it past.
Yeah.
So then Argentina, Venezuela. I really want to go Venezuela, but I'm going to go Argentina because I said Argentina would win this tournament, and I think you know where I'm headed. Yeah, so Argentina over Venezuela. I'll give it a 1-0. I think it'll be very close. And if so, I think this game can go to pens. Call it now.
Ooh.
So then we'll leave it at that. But I think 1-0, and if not, penalties. And then we go to Uruguay, Colombia. This is the game I'm switching it up. I'm going Colombia. I will predict that Uruguay has a bad game and Colombia capitalizes and they make their way to the final. So then it'll be Argentina, Colombia, and I feel like
you do your third place game first.
Huh?
You do your third place game first.
Oh yeah. Oh, so third place it would be Venezuela versus Uruguay, yeah. And I think Uruguay would end up winning this game. I feel like they're like once again they're gonna be like very upset that they ended up losing and they didn't make it to the finals, and they're just gonna get a tear on this game. I think they'll actually win 2-0. So then this brings us to the Argentina-Colombia game. I feel like there's going to be a lot of Argentina fans out and about, so the corruption is going to be out and about as well, and I think Argentina will end up pulling this out. I'll give it a 1-0, and then I feel like the whole messy thing, a lot of controversy comes up again, and it starts a big war. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, fair play, man.
Gotta stick with them.
Hey, that's fair, man. Your team's still there, so I see it. So we'll see what happens. It's hopefully it gets a little better. Maybe it's good that they scrapped the extra time, man, because I can't be bothered to see 120 minutes of just taking dives. So 120 yeah. minutes of diving and rolling and hammy pulling. I've never seen so many hammies pulled in my life, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
Do they not know how to stretch over in Ecuador? Do they not know how to do some calisthenics, some stretches, some high knees, some quad pulls, all that good stuff? Do they not know how to stretch over there?
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's our prediction for now. We'll have the Euros out pretty soon. But yeah. So pretty interesting results and all that good stuff. But thank you guys very much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. before we go, once again, Brian, what are the good stuff we say every single time we record this podcast?
Give us a 5-star rating, a like, share, any, all of the above, and or leave a comment. Let us know your predictions.
Exactly. Let us know how trash Ecuador is, and how lucky they are to be here, and
yeah, how it's not coming home.
Yes, and how Argentina is going to score 10 goals and break the record for most goals scored in a tourney, sending Ecuador home in shame. But yeah, once again, thank you guys. We really appreciate it, and we hope to see you guys next time.
See you guys.